everybody. Welcome back to the Friends and Faith Collective, episode 10. I'm Sam.
And I'm Marina.
How exciting is it that we hit double digits today?
We should have had a little cake to celebrate. Reaching 100,000 followers or something. Episode 10.
Episode 10.
Anyhow, we're excited.
Yes, we are excited. And we did decide that this will be the finale of season one. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for season two. We are going to be talking a little bit about that it's okay to not be okay sometimes. And just kind of catching up on what's been going on in our lives and why we've been a little bit of a small hiatus. Mm-hmm. So...
Yes, we were, for those of you that may have noticed, we were a little quiet the last couple of weeks. Over summer is kind of a little crazy in my household. We're very busy and so trying to find that time. So just so you guys know, our followers, the goal is still to get them out weekly, our episodes weekly. Over summer, that may look a little different, but don't worry, we will continue to put out that content for you guys and to share. On what Sam said, the topic of it's okay to not be okay kind of stemmed from how my summer started. Last day of school for us, I have two dogs, and my oldest dog, she's prone to seizures, but on the last day of school, she had about several in the morning, and then when I came home in the evening, she had several more, which was very alarming because usually they're months to years apart. And that was a lot in a day. So it was very stressful, gave me a lot of anxiety, which triggered then some panic attacks that occurred. And when my brain gets into that mode of a panic, it takes me a few weeks to get back into a normal groove of things in my mind. So it's just been pretty, honestly, on my end, just trying to get myself okay enough, well enough to have a normal conversation and make it make sense. When I fall into getting the anxiety or even a depression spell, I tend to push everybody out. I tend to ignore people, not text back, go in hiding. I'm used to handling things by myself, and that's what I do. And that's what I've done the last several weeks. I kind of look at it as I don't want to be a bother to anybody. And so instead of me reaching out to my trusted friends and those that I know that love me and want to be there for me to say, hey, I'm not okay, or hey, can you pray for me, or I'm going through some hard times, I tend to just back off and ignore and act like I'm okay and I'm just going to handle it all on my own. Which I know from experience is not the right thing to do. I'm one to preach and share that with others and tell them like, hey, you're not supposed to struggle alone. You're not alone. Don't stay in the pit too long by yourself. Reach out. Like, I'm here. I want to pray, but yet I don't do that to others.
Well, the reason you're able to talk about it and share that with others is because you've been there. Mm-hmm. Right? And so you just needed a reminder, or sometimes it takes time to realize that you're there at the pit.
Mm-hmm. It's just not fun going through it. Mm-hmm. And I know in the end, like, there'll be another episode where I will fully share my story of the time that I went through a really bad depression, kind of how I worked my way through it and things like that. I'm grateful now that God has made me aware when I start to get into those times so that I don't fall deep into it. Mm-hmm. But yet it's still not as easy. I remember when I first fell in, you know, to my hard depression several years ago, prior to that happening, whenever people would experience anxiety or say that they were sad or dealing with depression, I'd be like, just smile, everything's fine and you're okay and God's got you. And if you've ever seen the movie Trolls, like Poppy, the like, it's all rainbows and butterflies. Like, that was me for a majority of my life growing up until I experienced it myself. And it's like, no, it's not that easy to just flip the switch and say, okay, I'm better. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to not be okay was a topic we wanted to share on because I know that I'm not the only one that feels like when we're not okay that we are the only ones going through it, or that we don't want to be a hassle to anybody to reach out and say, hey, I need prayer. Sometimes maybe we want others to think we've got life all figured out and all together. For me, it's, I just didn't want to, everyone's busy and has enough going on in their lives. I didn't want to add to their plate to have to check up on Marina and make sure. But now, in the mindset that I am now and speaking it, like, it sounds so foolish, because I know my true friends and family would want to know if I'm going through the down times, or to be there to pray and encourage. But when I'm in that moment, it's just like, you're just so self-focused and just going through what you're going through.
Yeah. I think, like, being on the outside looking in of kind of what you were going through over the last couple of weeks, right when we put on this mask that everything is okay and that we have everything together, sometimes it's hard to pick up on triggers that, you know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. it might be hard to pick up on those breadcrumbs that you're leaving, you know? And yes, I mean, I am in the same boat as you, is when I get really low and fall into a pit, it's very hard for me to reach out for help, because the same, I don't want to burden somebody else. So I totally understand what you're saying. But on the outside looking in, it's hard sometimes to see when someone is really struggling. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes it's not always as apparent as we hope it would be. Communication is super important in those times, but it tends to be the last thing that we want to do, mm-hmm. unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just want someone to come sit in the pit with you. Like, can you just come down here and sit in this with me? Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I just want to sit down here.
Don't try to fix it. Don't try mm-hmm. to tell me days will get better, even though that's encouraging. Just for the moment, sit with me and just be on the same level, I guess. Mm-hmm. Understand it, mm-hmm. so to speak. Yeah. It's something that I have to continue to work on. And the reason why we have these is to share our life experiences, to share with our followers out there that we all have our struggles. And if you struggle with any of the things that we do or that we talk about, just know that you're not alone in it. And so part of the reason of us being a little quiet, our schedules are busy over summer and trying to get those to match up, to get together and to record these episodes. But it also, for the last couple of weeks, was on my end just going through stuff and not wanting to put on a fake happy smile to be up here. But I'm grateful for you, Sam, for your friendship and for us not losing touch of each other throughout that process. And just know that if you're going through anything, this too shall pass. It's not going to always remain down and in the dumps. And it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next time, tell me.
I know.
I know that you did, but it took time of pulling it out. And there's no shame in that whatsoever. It's enough. Like, what you were feeling and what you were experiencing and what you were doing was enough. Period. You know what I mean? I hope that makes sense. I don't, in those moments, I don't need more from you. I just want to know mm-hmm. so that I can come sit down there with you or help pull you out whenever you're ready. And that's always going to be my intentions. And I hope that you know that. It's hard on both sides of the coin. But next time, let me know so I can come sit on the couch down there with you. I'll bring snacks. We can watch Friends. You had me
at snacks.
We can watch Friends.
Oh, gosh, I'm trying not to cry here. But that's the word I was looking for when you said burden. It's just something that I never wanted to be for anybody. But I have to understand, if you are going through that, I would not in any way, shape, or form want you to feel like you were a burden to me, because you are not, mm-mm. ever. And it's just the enemy putting those lies into our mind. And while you're going through the process of that, you have to retrain your mind. And that's why it's so important And the Bible talks about meditating on his word and knowing when Jesus was tempted, when he went away to fast for the 40 days and 40 nights, enemy was always tempting him with, if you are the Son of God, mm-hmm. do this. If you are. So the enemy doesn't have any new tactics. He will make us question our identity, our worth, and all the things that we're going through. And in the Bible, when the enemy was tempting Jesus with this, Jesus always came back to it with, it is written, you know, man should not live by bread alone. He's talking about these things, and he's coming back with, it is written in the word. And so it's very important, and I can speak for that as well, when we are going through those times and the enemy is messing with our mind and making us think these things, we have to be so rooted in the word to be able to combat when we know the lies of the enemy are coming against, to say, no, it is written, I am worthy, I am enough, I am a child of God, I am protected. If you know these things and you can speak against it, it says in the Bible that the enemy will flee, mm-hmm. not forever, for another opportunity, mm-hmm. but he will flee if you continue to remain steadfast, remain grounded in his word. And one of the things that I had, should I lead into this right now?
Yeah, go for okay. it.
So one of the things that I have been meditating on a lot more recently, and what came to me throughout this process, was this Bible verse in 1 Peter 5:8. Says, be sober minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. And when that verse came to me, be sober-minded, it kept coming back, and I'm like, Lord, what do you mean sober-minded? I associate being sober with drugs and alcohol. Don't do drugs, don't do alcohol, be sober. And I don't do those things, so I kept wondering, like, why is this coming back to me? I went through different versions in my Bible app to see what different, you know, versions said, and a little bit more clarity. Googled the definition of sober. And it basically just talked about refraining from things that are going to cloud your mind or mess with your mind. Doesn't always have to be necessarily alcohol or drugs, although that takes a big part in it. For me, it was, I have not been taking care of myself. I have been eating like crap, feeding myself junk, and that messes with me too. That clouds my brain and that messes with me. And so what I took from that is like, okay, Lord, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You live within me. Therefore, I'm supposed to be taking care of me through that, to be sober-minded, so that I can pray for others and encourage and do the things that you're calling me to do. I can't do those if I'm in the pit with the mindset that I was the last several weeks. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't sober-minded, because I had so many things going on. He wants us to be sober-minded and be alert to not only share the gospel, but especially because it's saying your enemy is a roaring lion. He's coming to devour. Mm-hmm. And if you're not on your end game, if you're not all clear up here,
you're
not going to be able to fight against it. So I've been really meditating on trying to feed myself better, speaking encouraging things into me, obviously, reading the word, but just really staying true to, like, okay, God, this is, like, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are within me, and I should be taking care of myself. I remember crying in the car, like, Lord, why am I feeling like this again? Why am I going through this again? You know, pity party. Why me? Why me? And I clearly heard him press upon my heart, it's not me doing it. It's you. I'm not forcing you to put that food in your mouth. I'm not forcing you to make these choices. You're doing it. So don't keep asking me, why am I going through this? Why are you going through this again? Why are you going through this again? When you are the one making the choices and you don't like the outcome, mm-hmm. but you're coming to me for help when it's in your control. So that's been me in a nutshell. I have been trying to... Obedience in the Lord is not just reading your Bible and refraining from, you know, sex, drugs, alcohol, all those things. Although, yes, you need to. It's everybody has different addictions. Everybody has different those things that satisfy only for the moment. And I'm an emotional eater. And when I'm stressed and when I'm emotional, I go for the cookies and the donuts and the things that make me feel good for the moment, but then I pay for it later. I'm talking about the importance of meditating and knowing God's word, because when the enemy comes towards us and goes after our mind, which he will constantly, we have to be able to know the word to be able to combat that and make him flee.
Mm-hmm. So you want me to bring healthy snacks down to the pit?
I don't know.
Carrots,
maybe
no carrots. Hummus.
Maybe we'll do hummus and some water, flavored water. Yes. I've been like Googling anti-inflammatory foods. I'm really trying to lower inflammation in my body and really just staying away, really just from the junk, the fatty foods and the sweets. I can have them every once in a while, but I really have to.
80-20.
Yes. Know where to draw the line.
I can't preach about 80-20 because my 80-20 is the opposite. 80% bad, 20% good. That's where we're at right now.
But hey, it's only been, what, like day three that I'm really trying to like make the change. So I'm right there with you. Don't feel bad. Trust me, I'm not perfect.
Well, I started doing a fast with a coworker of mine, and she's been another great friend. Our friendship is new. And I told you always from the beginning, the conversation of anything faith related has always been hard for me to initiate unless someone else initiates it first. Mm-hmm. So working together, it's been a cool experience because her and I talk about it quite a lot. And she had told me about it. She was doing the Daniel's fast. Mm-hmm. So she was telling me about it. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. I've never really put the link together of fasting and your faith. Like, mm-hmm. I've never really learned about that or known about it or made that connection myself. So we were talking about it. And so while, like, right before we talked about it, I kept seeing faith-related fasting, like, popping up on my social media. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I see it. And then the girls from Girls Gone Bible were talking about fasting. And then my coworker was talking about it. And I was like, okay, God, like, I hear you. Mm-hmm. Clearly, this is a thing that you want me to pay attention to. And so she gave me more information so that her and I could do it together. And I can't remember the name of it, but it's fasting between the hours of 6 a.m. and 3 p.m., mm-hmm. which I'm not going to eat before 6. I just don't eat that early anyway. So I'm fasting from the night before until 3 p.m. And so far it's going good, but the point is not just to fast and to beat the hunger. That's mm-hmm. not really the point. The point is to reprogram your brain and your mind and go to God. I don't know enough about it to talk about it, I feel, but it's leaning on God and fasting from something that is a void for you. Mm-hmm. But this lady, Tiffany, she puts out content that you're supposed to follow along, and it's 25 days. Her videos are like an hour and a half to 2 hours each day that you're supposed to watch. Mm. So I've been failing in the video department. It's very heavy information, like deeper into Christianity than I have ever seen before. And it's opened up some personal like stuff for me that been festering. Mm-hmm. So it's quite wild this fast. And then I went to the beach last night. It was just weird how that situation happened. I was talking to my coworker about this festering that was happening of one specific thing. And I talked to my doctor about it. We share the same doctor's office, at least. He was like, we're going to release this, work on it. We're going to release it here, but you're going to have a moment where you are in a space where you feel closest to God, and then you're going to release it completely. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking like, okay, yeah, right. You know, like, sure, sounds good. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking to my coworker, my friend about it. And I'm like, but I don't know where that place is that I feel closest to God besides church. And she was like, well, the beach, you've told me that's where you feel closest to God. And I was like, duh, I didn't even think of that. Had that conversation yesterday at work. I go home. My husband had plans in the evening yesterday with one of his friends. And I was being a spoiled brat. And I was like, I'm going to be here all by myself. And what am I going to do? And blah, blah, blah. Just being a turd, you know? And my husband's like, why don't you go to the beach? Without him knowing that any of this is going on. I didn't tell him any of this festering, nothing. He knew nothing.
Yeah.
And he's like, I feel like you need some Sam healing. And I know that's where you do it. And you should go talk to God. And I was like, wow. Okay, cool.
Wow.
So I went after a lot of crying because I did not want to go for some reason. I love going to the beach by myself at night. And last night I did not want to go. And I was crying to my husband. I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. And I felt very much that the enemy was like, no, ma'am, do not go and talk to him. And I went anyways. And wow, it was a very powerful experience. And I feel 100 pounds lighter today. So this fasting has brought a lot of clarity. It festered some stuff up a little bit first and then brought the clarity. So I thought it was, you were talking a little bit about Jesus fasting in the Bible. And I just made that connection. I started a new Bible study. I've been looking for one that is helpful enough that it's not too much on the reader. Like I needed a little bit more guidance. And so this one, I found it at Barnes and Noble and I'm loving it. And it brought me to a verse yesterday. I think it's this one in Ephesians. It's Ephesians 6:10. It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And I think that in moments where you find yourself in the pits, reminding yourself to put on all of God's armor could be something that could be helpful, at least as an affirmation, you know, like you said, I'm a child of God, like repeating that. That was something I was doing yesterday on the drive to the beach. I just had all my windows up and we talked about it in a previous episode.
Windows up or down like a crazy lady? Last time they were down. This time were they up?
This time they were up.
Okay.
I didn't want to get any weird looks, and my windows are pretty heavily tinted. So my worship music was going and I was yelling, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God, because I could feel the attack and I've been feeling it over the past couple of months of this very small topic that felt buried in the dirt. And then this fast was like, nope, we're doing it. And wow, it came in hot. So it is okay to not be okay sometimes. Sitting there forever isn't okay. But being vulnerable, being open, being messy, and being raw, it doesn't make you shameful. It makes you human.
That was a good one.
And that's what I wanted to tell you earlier. That's what I was trying to tell you, that where you were in your situation at that moment was enough for me. It's okay that it was hot and messy and, what did I say hot? That was weird. I meant to say hot mess. And then I just said hot.
You calling me hot? The tears were coming and then you called me hot and they just went whoop.
You're welcome. It's okay if it's raw and messy. And thanks, vulnerable.
I think you're kind of hot too.
You're welcome. This is not that kind of a podcast.
Not this episode anyway. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, stay tuned for season two. But it is okay. And you're right. Your tribe of people, your close friends and family, they're going to be accepting of the vulnerability and the mess and the raw. Even if you don't feel right. Sometimes when I'm sitting in the pit, I feel like inadequate. Like, Who am I? Like, woe is me to be feeling this. And if I tell somebody that I'm feeling this way, they're going to look at me like, what's your problem? Get out of it. You're fine. You know, and that's, I think sometimes I'm fearful that somebody's not, maybe not going to, one, understand, or two, think I'm a complete weirdo.
I think the ones who have experienced it and been through it can sit with you and understand. Mm-hmm. I remember a time going when my depression first hit hard and first ever in my life. You know, my mom was like, I don't know what to do. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to do this. I don't know. She's never experienced being in that kind of state. And so she couldn't help me because she couldn't relate. She didn't, you know, she was trying to be encouraging and try to fix as a mom does. And she came from a very big place in her heart to want to help her daughter, but she didn't know how. Mm-hmm. And it was evident at that time that that was, God didn't want her to know how, because he needed me to completely turn to him and depend on him in this moment in my life, instead of going to mom to fix to everything. Mm-hmm. Because I always went to mom or husband, and mom and husband. And God was like, nope. And they both, obviously, they lived with me. My mom lived with me at the time. But even though they lived with me, God pulled them from my grip. And he's like, you are not going to mom and husband anymore. You're coming straight to me. And that was hard, because those were the two that I depend. I still love and depend on them, but it's a different kind of depend, because God had to take me through that time to go through that. But if people have never experienced it, they don't truly really know how to sit with you or help. Mm-hmm. And I think in the moment for me, it's, I'm so used to being everyone's go-to and encourager and pointing them back to Jesus and praying for them. Like, I'm used to being that person for everyone, that it's hard for me to feel like it's okay to be, to lean into somebody, to be that for me. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Like, I just, and that's where I feel like I don't want to be a burden, because I'm used to being that person, that I don't want to, not only do I not want to bother them, I guess it's a pride thing that maybe God is showing me right now, to say, like, you don't have to have it all together, or have to, oh, I mean, yes, I'm grateful and humbled and honored that I am that for people, and I'm blessed to be that. I guess it is just a pride thing of saying, like, hey, I need help too, because we all do. But that's probably one of the biggest things, is I don't want to feel like I'm letting anyone else down that comes to me and has shared the word of me being a good friend or mentor or coach or anything like that, to then feel like they can't come to me anymore because I don't have it all figured out. But I don't have it all figured out.
But if I don't see my mentor fall and stand back up again,
God, that's good, Sam.
Fall 7 times, stand up 8. If I don't see my mentor fall and stand back up again, at some point the mentorship feels phony. Yeah, you've always got it put together. Good for you. Pat on the back. Not saying that you should fall so that
right.
Your mentorship isn't phony. I'm just saying who God uses you in such a very specific way in mentorship, and a part of being a true mentor, keyword true, and a true leader and a true friend is to be vulnerable enough so that the people behind you can say, oh, look, Marina fell. Sometimes I fall too. Or, look, Marina's in the pit. I've been there. Mm. Hey, I was in the pit a couple months ago and you pulled me out. Or you came and sat with me in the pit. Okay, now I know how to do that for you. Right? It's okay to fall as long as you're going to stand back up again, so that you can show the people behind you that it is okay to fall as long as you stand back up.
Thank you, friend.
You're welcome. Next time, let me know that you're falling so I can come and help.
I will. With cookies.
No, you told me to bring healthy snacks.
Oh, my goodness. See, this is why it's important to get the right circle around you and get the people that matter, because in the moment where I'm so grateful that I'm doing better than I was the last couple of weeks, like this week has been so much better for me, but it's just hearing that reminder and encouragement. I mean, it's truth. Like, I didn't look at it that way. I just looked at it like I held this title with like such care that I didn't want to let anybody down, not to try to appear perfect all the time, but I just didn't want to let anybody down, I guess, was the biggest issue. But for you to come out and share that, you know, just to say what you just said is like, okay, I needed to hear that, because I'm an advocate for showing that part of, like, if you have it all together all the time, and I think we've talked about this in a previous episode, like, you're not going to build that connection of being true by showing that you have it all together all the time. And I don't ever want to appear that way. I guess part of me was focused on that in that moment. And again, just kind of pushing out. But next time, I promise I will tell you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. And next time I will be more cautious of red flags as they're popping up. Because we've talked about it before, like, our friendship is new. We've talked about it quite a few times. And it takes time sometimes to learn those red flags. Sometimes those flags are not as easy for me to pick up, I think, because I'm not usually at the top of the pit. I'm usually the one at the bottom. And I think within our friendship, I've usually been the one at the bottom of the pit. And you've been the mentor pulling me out. So this time, right, the roles were a little bit flipped, and I didn't pick up on the red flags right away. And that's not intentional.
Right.
And I think the enemy saw an opportunity in that and said, now's my moment. Because we had a little bit of a riff in our communication. And I think that's what it was the enemy coming in and saying, oh, they're having a little bit of a weak spot. And I'm going to jump right on it right here because this could make or break it. You know, we made it. We're on the other side of it now. And it's just weird, though, that when, like you were talking about, like, the devil finds his spots and is roaring and is trying to prowl and find his areas. And he may go away for a time being, but he always circles back and finds his little open doors and weasels his way in. I was thinking earlier, too. I don't know if this is something that you struggle with when you're feeling like you're sitting in the bottom of the pit, but learning to say no. I don't know if that's something that you struggle with. I know that you've talked about being a people pleaser before, so I don't know if this is applicable to that, but I was kind of looking up. I always do like 10 minutes of looking things up before we sit here and talk about it so that I can sound philosophical or whatever. And Pinterest told me
that's what how is it, Dr. Sam?
Yeah, it's talking about learning to say no. Don't lie. Don't make excuses. Don't over explain yourself and simply just decline. And that was something that felt applicable to me. So I was like, maybe that is applicable for you because you're wanting to put on a mask of being okay. That's something that I do, is make excuses because I want the mask to show that I'm all good and gravy over here. So I don't need your help. But just simply decline is enough.
As far as saying no, like, that's still a huge, it's funny because I tell my husband all the time, he can tell the kids no. Like, I don't have a problem telling my kids no when it comes to certain things. But when it comes to other things, it is a little harder for me to say no. I'm still going through that phase of practicing that more, and today was a perfect example. I'm a caretaker for a couple of other kids throughout the week over summer. I didn't have them today, and my son was like, oh, well, can we have so and so over, another set of friends, can they come over and can they play? And I said, no, like, I just want a moment, like a day to myself. If I didn't have to take care of them, like, let me just have a moment. This doesn't mean because I don't have them that I'm bringing all the rest of the neighborhood kids over. I work at a school. I love kids. I have really all my life. But even just telling my son no for that, because I always like, sure, come on over. Like, my house is the one where all the friends come over and I love it and I don't care. But today in this moment, I'm like, I just need a day for myself. Things have been crazy, but yet today, like, I had the opportunity to just chill and lounge at home and it felt awesome. Mm-hmm. But I had to tell him no. And he's like, why? How can? And usually when he persists, like, it's hard for me to tell him no over and over again.
Yeah.
He knows if he persists, he's going to get what he wants. But this time I'm like, no, mom just needs her time today and we're just going to keep it that way. So in regards to saying no, it's something that I definitely need to practice more. And not having explanations when I say no. It's just not that easy sometimes.
It's not. And it's not helpful that when you're in the bottom of the pit and we're texting back and forth and I come in like a bull in a china shop, like, dude, what the actual is going on? And I come across very aggressive sometimes and I don't mean it that way at all. But at the core, it's just like, what is up? Can you just tell me what is happening so that...
And then you have a person over here that is just like, I'm fine. It's okay. Everything's going to be okay. And it's like, no, just be honest and tell her, like, this is what's going on. And
next time I'm going to say, take your mask off so I can see your real face.
Okay.
And none of it's your fault. I don't see, like, that's, this is me saying that. And I'm like, wow. And my brain just right now is like, wow, Sam, that sounded pretty aggressive.
No,
and
it's no,
like,
I don't take it.
Don't make
way.
Marina feel bad for what no. she went through. It's not that at all. It's take your mask off so I can see your real face so I can come sit down there with you. That's what I want. I don't want perfect Marina. I don't want Marina with makeup. I don't want Marina with her hair done. I don't want Marina because she's a mentor. I want Marina because she's my friend. And if that means you're sitting at the bottom of the pit, cool. Let's take snacks and sit down there together. What episode of Friends do you want to watch? That's what I want from you. I don't want perfect Marina. That's cool and gravy and I enjoy her, but like, I don't care about that.
And I don't know how many times you have to share that for it to get through my thick skull.
I don't know, but I'll tell you however many times you need to hear it.
You really watch Friends with me?
Yeah. It's not my top five, but I'll watch it.
You had me at Friends.
But well, earlier you said I had you at snacks.
You had me. Yeah, that's true.
Both.
Yeah, you had me at both. I think this topic of sharing it's okay to not be okay is awesome. But what I really want you guys to see right now is... this is the process, like Sam has said, our friendship is new. This is also a process of our friendship growing and going through some of the things that maybe you might have with friendships, or, you know, getting to like really know each other. It's not, we're not just sitting here to record a podcast. And I think that was one of the things that I mentioned with you in the very beginning. I didn't want to do the podcast with someone else or just a random person because I wanted to feel connected and have something established so that it's genuine. And I don't think it gets more genuine than talking about things that we do and the tears and the conversations. Like, it's real. And it's cool.
Something else I saw from my very reliable source, Pinterest, said you are valuable without bringing anything else to the table, without showing up with anything other than yourself. Yes, you have gifts and resources to use, but those are not your value. Your value is simply, beautifully, perfectly you, and there is power in that realization. And God says that you are perfectly and wonderfully made. Period. End of episode.
Period.
Was that a mic drop moment? Not to toot my own horn.
Thank you, Dr. Sam.
Anytime.
It's okay to not be okay. Mm-hmm. Just know that you don't want to stay there. And when you're not okay, tell somebody.
Clear, honest, and compassionate delivery. Communication is key.
Share with somebody that you are not okay. It can be a simple text of, I'm not okay. Can you pray for me? Feeling a little down. Yep. Whatever that is, find a person that you trust that you can open up and share and be vulnerable with. You should be able to have one or two at least by your side to be able to do that with. And if you're not okay 100% of the time, it's okay.
Yep.
None of us are.
None of us.
And you're not alone.
Not, no.
So we will be dropping some episodes. The goal is to do it weekly. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can continue on that. Summer gets a little crazy. But if any of this was helpful to you, if you know someone that sometimes feels it's not okay to be not okay or on all the time, feel free to share this episode. We appreciate the likes. And as always, we appreciate you being here. Until next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.